some of these designated grants are very close, you know, to my, my concerns. You know, I've known, in the past, in a previous life, I had to deal with some of these organizations that I propose, or I lay on the table for cutting. I look at all of them, and it's certainly something that I really didn't want to do, but I've done it. I think that I've made a good faith effort to lay on the table. Your request will be honored, Mr. Chairman and Representative Brown, that we will go back to the drawing board and we will relook at these proposed cuts, come up with a way to quantify the impact on Alaskans. And I do take Representative Ulmer's concern, I do take it very seriously, and that is that we do have to realize that some of the people impacted with our child care, proposed child care cuts, are among the lowest paid in the state.
Yeah, I thank you for that, and I'm not suggesting that any of these are like really bad. That I mean, I think we have to look at all of them to get the big picture. And I would look forward to seeing that information. Just one thing: did you consider looking at cuts to the local boundary commission?
A rhetorical question.
That's a serious question. I know that we have some constitutionality there, but I would request that you take a look at suspending that particular program for a year, perhaps.
Thank you, Mr. Representative. I will relay that request to Ramond here.
Representative Phillips.
Well, Mr. Chairman, everybody seems to be pointing the guns at the commissioner. I'm not. I think we've asked them to come up with some cuts. We also said they weren't going to be, we're not going to be any sacred cows. And sure, some of these, like the daycare assistance and the child care grants, the Head Start, or at least for me personally, sensitive, but we have to discuss these things, and I think you've done a good job, frankly. Mr. Chairman, for those who are concerned about child care, daycare, Head Start, I was just discussing this with Ron here, if we could possibly eliminate the homeowner's property tax exemption, the renter's rebate program at $3.6 million, since we're not funding that anyway. And it seems to me that these people, if you have to pit one group of people against another, the kids are frankly probably the least protected, and they ought to have a higher priority than, yeah, if it had to come down to that. So it seems to me that these, I saw the formula, I know, I understand that. We're trying to get down to $6 million or whatever it is. Yeah, I know. So I'm just saying that, you know, you got to ask yourself, who's the least protected? And it seems to me in this case the kids are versus senior citizens, because at that point in time, those people are probably well protected. But we seem to criticize those who come up with recommendations and then criticize those who don't. And I want to be consistent and appreciate what the department has done, at least bringing these things forward. A lot of them I would make myself personally.
Representative Betty Davis.
Thank you. Thank you. First of all, I have a question for you as the chair. You did ask that they take $6 million out of their budget, and it amounts to about 17.5%, I think, reduction. Is there any way possible that, first of all, I don't know how you came with that number. Maybe you can tell me that. But when you tell me that, could you also tell me that it's possible that that reduction could be lowered? I know there are no sacred cows, but I do want to come here to give you a message today. I know that you were supposed to put everything on the table, but it's not good enough. It cannot work that we take 50% of these reductions off of the backs of children and child care workers and all those kinds of people that would be affected the most. And yeah, it's going to hurt our communities a lot. We have to take those kinds of things into consideration. And that's why I say I want to downsize the budget, but I want to also give people some stability and some hope that things are going to be okay as we do this. And this won't do it. And so I'm not saying it to CRNA. I'm saying it to the members of the Finance Committee, the subcommittees as you work on it. They put it all out on the table, but it's going to be up to us to do whatever. I serve on the CRA. I feel very comfortable that the chair and the members of that committee will look at all of these things and try to do something better than what's here. And it's not good enough to say there's no sacred cows. There are some. At some point, somebody's going to have to speak up for children, women and children, and those people that can't speak for themselves. And as chair of the Children's Caucus, I'm saying we should leave no children behind in those areas. And I keep saying, when are we going to say what we have to balance off to make those kinds of things work instead of saying we're going to take all those monies out of there? You know, like those designated grants, those things are providing a lot of jobs for people also. And not only do they provide jobs, but they provide entertainment and a release to people to be able to do some things other than go to work and go home and go to bed. And also it provides entertainment, but it also has some therapeutic things to it also. So we definitely need to look at all this all over again and come up with some things that will that can be deducted other than some of these things. But in answer to my question, is it possible that we can reevaluate the 17%? Because I think it's a small department. It's quite efficient. It's one of the better ones that we have. They do a good job, and then we take the most money from them. Well, we took the most from education, but their budget is much bigger than this one.
Actually, let me just clarify what the process is here. After we go through this, the departments have come forward with their options. They go back to the subcommittees. The subcommittees may choose these options and any other number of options that they'd like, prioritize them for the committee. Then the subcommittee reports will come back to the full finance committee. The full finance committee will make reductions in the budget across the different budgets and prioritize. When the finance committee gets done with that process, we'll report a bill out. It'll be up to the full house in order to determine what the final budget is this year. And whether or not there are any sacred cows, I guess, just go to the statement that I've made over and over again, is that there are no reductions that can be gotten, or very, very few reductions that can be gotten in the budget without impact. And we just simply have to do less. And whether that means in some of these areas, we can take bigger reductions, for example, in the formula programs of one kind or another, municipal assistance, revenue sharing, things like that, in order to get to our budget reduction number. That's what we have to try to do. Otherwise, if we can't make the reductions, then we're not going to get out of this this year with significant enough reductions in the budget to really allow for a responsible long-term budget plan. That's my concern. It's not going to be easy.
Yes, that's my concern also, and so I'm not saying that we should not be cutting the budget. I don't want to give that message at all. I know that we have to. I know that we will, but I just want us to be sensitive in certain areas. But what I would like to request is not only the information that have been asked by Community and Regional Affairs Commissioner to give to us, is that all the information that you just read off, and when you said how much money you were cutting from each one of those programs and who was affected, we need to have all of that before we actually go into our closeout. So if you could provide that to us, I would appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Davis, I'd be more than happy to get the numbers for you. We will contact the affected people and ask them how it would impact them. If I might make one other comment, Mr. Chairman, and out of the $24 million available for a reduction to the pass-through dollars, $20 million is for child care, daycare assistance, and Head Start. So we would not have been able to meet our target reduction of $6 million or only $4 million of that out of pass-through dollars.
That may have been an oversight. Representative Boyer.
Yeah, thanks. I'd just like to also emphasize that in the first year I was in the legislature, we had a $900 million gaping hole in the budget, and that was the year that we doubled the grants for child care grants. We doubled that in that year. It was part of a $10.3 million improvement to programs geared to kids through the GCHE, as we all remember. So that's just a little perspective that I hope I don't lose in the whole process. But the housing program seems to have been spared in this whole exercise, and I thought that there had been some discussion of moving that whole division over to AHFC, and I'm not suggesting that in that move you eliminate any of the, I think there are about 27 positions there, that you eliminate the positions, but as part of the housing dividend through AHFC, it seems that it's entirely appropriate that you move that over. You have an immediate savings to the general, pure general fund here, in this case, in this department, of about $3.1 million, plus the attendant $24, $25, $26 million, or whatever it rolls in that we deal with in the front section of the budget through the loans part of the budget. That could also be, I think, assumed by AHFC as part of their housing dividend. And I don't know that there's a lot of discussion. I think there has been some discussion of it. I know that the positions do a lot more than just service those loans. They act as advocates in many cases, as you've characterized the department, for needs in the rural community. So I'm not suggesting that you de-emphasize that, but where are you at in that discussion of moving that over to AHFC, or certainly as a funding source?
Mr. Chairman, I'll allow Ramon to answer Representative Bowyer's question.
I'll address through the chair the question concerning why this wasn't put on the table in terms of analysis, and that is that the administrative dollars that are in our department for the housing loan program are administrative dollars that are generated from the housing. Their housing loan receipts, they're not general fund dollars. Therefore,
well, they are general fund dollars. We just spend them around in the loans budget. Right? They come in and we spend them back out. And I mean, they're all general fund dollars.
Well,
aren't they?
Those are housing loan receipts,
right,
in terms of technical services.
Okay.
So therefore, that's why it's not put on the table.
Right. That's right. But I mean, aside then from this exercise, is that being discussed that as part of the overall policy of getting to a reduction scenario?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Boyer, with our housing loan program, you know, one thing that in any discussion of consolidation of housing loan programs, we, of course, as an advocacy agency, would insist that the interests of the rural Alaskans be protected and they have the same rights as urban Alaskans in any proposed consolidation of housing efforts. Ramon?
I just wanted to make a comment regarding that. That is a proposal that's being considered at this point in time. And we're willing to work with the administration and the legislature and coming up with a solution and arriving at a smooth transition if that were to occur. But I think that that people need to be aware of the impact on this particular department if something like that were to occur. And you have to take in consideration the fact that the housing loan program that's funded by this department has the lowest delinquency rate, has the lowest foreclosure rate, and is run very well. Secondly, the proceeds of the funds from the housing loan program not only assist in running the housing loan program, they also assist and are part of our field office and our field office structure, where we deliver all of our programs, our JTPA program, energy programs, child care. The field office structure is significantly impacted by the consolidation of the housing loan program. You also have to consider that when you consolidate that, it's tied very closely to weatherization. Looking at a consolidation would not only impact the 25 positions that we have in the housing loan administration, there's 13 positions in weatherization. We're looking at possibly that 40 positions that would be gone from the department. So I guess in summary, when you're sitting and you're looking at trying to consolidate and save dollars, sometimes what you may see on paper may not be the best solution to the problem. This department, as evidenced by audit reports, is one of the cleanest departments in state government. The Efficiency Task Force has gone through and looked at the department, and they think that this is one of the most efficient departments in state government. So I just hope that all those things are taken in consideration when trying to look at the big picture of cost savings to the state.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wouldn't want this commissioner and his assistant to leave here, believing that we all agree with the remarks that have been made here. Mr. Commissioner, I support early childhood development, and I support child care. Representative Almer, in her remarks, alluded to the fact that we support business through the underground storage tanks. I believe I voted against that. I don't think we're in the business of that. I think when you're in a business, You have so much built into your profit margin, it's supposed to take care of your overhead. And so it was with the underground storage tanks, and so it is with the daycare assistance. I believe that we should only pay once. We pay for the child care. I don't think we, on the other hand, should be giving a subsidy to the daycare centers. I think we pay once, not twice. So I didn't want you leaving here believing we all thought that way, because we don't.
Mr. Chairman, and I don't, you know, I appreciate the comments of every member of this body, and I want to assure you, and I don't want to leave the impression that I don't love children. I love children, you know, I think they're fine.
Representative
Larson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to reflect a couple of thoughts here I had. I appreciated the presentation we just had, and I think it outlines the job that's before us. Although, in relation to community and regional affairs, we're looking at one agency that generally affects one line of things more than the others. We do have to look at everything overall, but what do we have before us? We have consideration of senior citizens, things that are going to affect state employees, things that are going to affect pass-through grants, things that are going to affect children, things that are going to affect nonprofits, and things that are going to affect local government. We got the whole spectrum that we have to face. We cannot let any of these hold and expect to get the support of all the rest. Everyone's going to have to hurt a little if we're going to take $110 million out of the operating budget and $90 million out of the pass-throughs. I commend these gentlemen for the presentation they made tonight. Many hard decisions. Let's just hope that we can make the hard decisions when it gets down to it, too.
Representative Phillips.
I'll pass it to Bert.
Representative Sharp.
Thank you. I just want to comment, and the commissioner touched on it briefly. When you look at the amount of general fund dollars available of $24 million, and over $20.5 million of it is for the three children's programs, no matter how much you stand up and beat your chest and wave the flag and talk about kids, when you're 85% of the budget, you're going to have to take part of your hits. And that's just as simple as that, or we're not going to cut the budget.
Representative Lehman.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just going to add one thing to what Representative Larson said. He put down a list of people that might be affected. He left at least one category off, and I'm sure he didn't mean for it to be all inclusive, but things that affect us should be on that list, too, and I'm sure as we look at that, we're going to look at that carefully, but I really think that if we don't start right here at home with the legislatures, we can't expect child care providers to take the hit and the other people, and I think we ought to set that example. And I know it's not easy, but if we don't do it, I don't think it will get done otherwise.
Well, I just want to say that the legislative budget will be reduced significantly. The governor's budget and the legislature's budget have not yet surfaced in terms of their reduction scenario, but I think that every one of us fully expect to see a significant reduction in the legislative budget. I don't want there to be any misconceptions out there in the press or any member of this body. We're going to take our hit probably to a greater degree, would be my guess, than most of the agencies. Representative Copeland.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think there are subsidies in these budgets that don't show up in actual figures. There are subsidies to various types of business where they don't, by dint of essentially not paying their share. We rely very heavily on the oil industry. We do not expect any other area of the private sector to contribute a similar share of the money they make from Alaskan resources. And just because it doesn't show up in the budget, then it's
It's still a subsidy.
Representative Mackey.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to make one comment, too, that we just have to keep reminding ourselves that, you know, what we're, the exercises that we're going through here is not a fun thing to do. Nobody wants to do it. I mean, there's an election year, the easy thing to do is pass a budget on 17 or 18 bucks and let the governor have to be the bad guy and have to cut it out, or Shelby or whoever. But I really look at this as an honest effort to try to work with the Senate and the governor's office to try to reduce this budget. We have to do it, election year or not. We have to reduce the budget. The revenue forecasts are, what, $15.86? We got a budget for the governor on $18 or $18, $19. You got to do what you got to do, and this is a good exercise. It's not popular, it's not fun, but I think that this Finance Committee has probably provided more leadership than what I've seen in the past, just as a member of the public. And actually, it's something we need to do, and we need to do it this year, and next year we're going to have to do it again. So those that can't handle that maybe shouldn't come back next year or something. It's just a fact that we have to deal with it. I think we're going about it right.
Yep. Commissioner, I want to thank you for your presentation. We don't have to agree with it. We can come up with our own reductions, and I expect it will probably be a combination of both. Thank you.
Oh, what the hell?